Hey guys, welcome to Fitness Mentor's presentation of Chapter 3 from the ACE Personal Trainer Manual. Specifically, we are going over the PowerPoint presentation for the online course. So, Chapter 3 really focuses on effective communication and coaching strategies. So, really when we think about talking with our clients and coaching our clients, the ability to communicate in a way that will keep them motivated, also be clear and concise as to what is expected of each, the trainer and the client, and really just learn how to utilize communication to build the relationship and create something that a client would want, as well as get them towards their goals. So all of the above takes communication and coaching strategies, and specifically, as we move over to slide 2, we're going to be talking about the relationship stages of the client and trainer relationship. The client-trainer relationship stages. So specifically, when we think about this sort of, we'll say, task, building a rapport, the first stage is going to be to build rapport. And the rapport stage talks about how you need to build trust and understanding into the relationship before the relationship can go anywhere. And really, when you think about the steps in getting a client, the first step is really just getting to know someone. You know, you don't typically walk up to a client in the gym and they're just like, hey, we should train. It never really works that way. It's typically going to take time for the client to even think about trusting you enough to then take on a session with you, whether that be for free or whether that be the assessment or even starting personal training. So that rapport stage is really just, you know, getting to know people, building a relationship, and really just increasing that trust and understanding. After you get through building that trust and understanding, that's when it's time to get to know the client on a level that would enhance your ability to create an effective program for them, which is called the investigation stage. And that's really, you're laying out, you're finding and determining the baselines of the client. Where are they currently at? What is their current state of health and what is their current fitness levels? Finding out that is kind of the second stage of the relationship in which you're gathering information about that client. After you gather information, it's time to then move to the planning stage in which you're really looking to take the information that you gathered and create something that's tailored to the client and will benefit them and help them really get towards their health goals and their fitness goals. So it says design the program and an approach that you're going to take to improve the person's fitness and improve the person's health. And that's the design stage, we'll kind of say. And then the action stage is when you implement the plan that you've created in the planning stage. So bottom bullet point there on slide 2 is really that rapport never leaves. And once again, guys, rapport is just getting to know that client, building the relationship. Simple things like asking questions and having great communication and talking to them builds their trust in you. And rapport should always, always, always be a part of every single daily activity that you're doing with that client. And, you know, obviously as the stages of the relationship grow and you become to know this client for longer and longer and longer, it may be easy just to kind of not build rapport, but you always want to make sure that that client trusts you, understands you, and the relationship always continues to grow further. So moving over to slide 3, we're going to specifically talk about that rapport stage. And specifically, you should build rapport through every single stage. And specifically, that this kind of section talks about the first impression. And once again, the rapport stage is kind of that beginning stage, but also is present through all stages. But really, you know, how are you going to approach a client? You've never met the person. You've seen them for the once or twice in the gym. How can you go from not knowing someone to then building enough rapport to getting them as a client? And that's really what the rapport stage is about. And really, that first impression is where ACE is going to emphasize most of this rapport. And you know, a lot of times to give my feedback, when you're in a gym and you see people working out all the time It's really important to walk through that gym with a smile on your face, wave to every single person, keep your head high, make eye contact with everyone. To give another example, when I was first starting to work in a major gym, it was very easy for me to walk with my head down, looking at my shoes, and go to the personal training area, and then not really look my head up at all. And you know, that right there doesn't show a lot of confidence. It didn't really allow me to meet people because I was always kind of not open to my nonverbal communication said that I'm on a mission to do one thing and I don't have time for anyone else. So the one thing that I changed that really helped me to start to expand my client base was every single time I walked into that gym, it was business time. And business time means head up, chin held high, we'll say, looking my best, trying to make eye contact with every single person I walk by, saying hi, calling them by their name, waving, just acknowledging every single person around me that I come into contact with. That really helped people to be like, oh, this person's open to talking. If I ever have a question, I would be able to ask that person. So that rapport stage, that's really just a tip that I would give for any of you going into a gym for the first time and looking to gain clients. That's one of the biggest things, is just be open in your body language to talk to people. And that's really head up, eye contact, and smiling even, that too. So the specifically, yeah, when we talk about first impressions, that's kind of what I just gave my two cents on. But negative first impressions typically come from things like rudeness, lack of caring, or neglect, or even failure to prepare. So that's really, when we talk about, there's a lot of things, examples that I could give for someone being rude, but in a gym environment, just not putting your weights away when you're working out, making it look like you're not paying attention to the clients you are training, those sort of things other people do notice. So you always want to make sure that you are as professional as possible and creating what's called a positive client experience. And that really helps to build rapport with everyone in the gym. And also introducing my clients to people that I know in the gym, other trainers, other people working out, other group exercise instructors, massage therapists, just being that open community, or having the open communication that allows someone to feel at home and comfortable. That's really important. And then along with that, getting into the positive client experiences, promoted by showing respect, caring, being professional, and having clear communication. That's kind of what I mentioned, but even on top of that, like I mentioned, allow people to feel comfortable by making sure they know that your attention is on them, and you're asking questions, you're introducing them to people, you're smiling. Even people that are always in their own element and don't want to be talked to, I still smile at, make eye contact, give them a wave, and then that just opens up the floor if they ever do have a question. Then that second bullet point there, it says, take the client's concerns seriously and ensure all questions are considered and clearly answered. So relating to positive client experiences, always ensure that their questions are considered and answered clearly. We want you to know that, because that as a test question may come up, it might talk about, what describes or all of the following promote a positive client experience, or which of the following best promotes a positive client experience. Really just making sure that the client is considered and they're on your main primary concern, and that all of their questions are answered clearly, that sort of thing. And then once again, to kind of parlay that asterisk there, those positive experiences prevent negative experiences. So that's kind of the language that you might see on the test. But just very important to understand that the rapport stage is all about building that client relationship. And we continue talking about this as we get to slide number 4. So slide 4 talks about the characteristics of positive experiences. We want you to know this because, like I said, it might have something like all of the following are characteristics of positive experiences except. So what is a positive client experience? A clean and organized facility, a professional appearance, and make sure your attire is clean, make sure your outfit looks good, shoes are sweet, And then also a friendly trainer that is interested in the client and listens carefully. Okay, so being friendly. And then also, guys, really important, good eye contact. And this is kind of the example I gave earlier, but you know, what are you open for communication? Is your eye contact good? Is your body positioning open to communication? And then specifically when you're in front of a client, we'll say the forward lean indicates that you're intently listening, and the arms uncrossed means you're open for more communication. So keep the arms uncrossed, have good eye contact, and have proper body positioning. It's very important to promote a positive client experience. Next, verbal and nonverbal communication. What continues to promote the positive client experience? Confidence in your voice quality. That's going to be very important. Once again, eye contact. Prove their words are worth your attention by making eye contact with them. Obviously, don't stare into their eyes and not break eye contact, because that can become awkward. But you know, just make sure that you show that you're listening by grabbing their eye contact. You know, 5 to 10 seconds, looking away, grabbing their eye contact. Just make sure that they always know that you are paying attention. Also, facial expressions. A lot of what you say is understood. A lot of the communication you make is what we'll say expression on your face. So make sure that's sincere and shows the intent to listen. And then hand gestures. I'm making a ton of great hand gestures right now. You can't see them, but hand gestures that are relaxed, fluid is important. You know, crossing your hands, fidgeting, that's not going to be too recommended. And then body position. Once again, forward lean, arms uncrossed. It's very important to know for the test, and especially when you're in front of a client, what to do. All right, so moving to slide 5, we're now going to get into the investigation stage. So the investigation stage really is when you're going to gather information about the client. And that's pretty much exactly what it sounds like, investigating, learning more about that person. So you want to learn about the client's likes, you want to learn about their dislikes, and that can really help you develop a program that the client can adhere to. So yeah, a lot of times when I think about sales, to be honest, the investigation stage is where the sale typically happens. You're trying to learn everything that you can know about that person. And you want to know, you know, what do they like? What do they dislike? Because if you are listening to them and they tell you they hate doing, we'll say a TRX workout. They did it once and they hated it. And then you go and program in their workout a TRX workout that shows that you're not listening and doesn't give them what they want. Okay, or in the exact opposite, if they say, oh, I did TRX and I loved it. I did suspension training, that's what TRX is, and I loved it. So you note that and then you create that into their program. It shows that you were listening and it really shows that you care about what they're saying and you want to give them the best experience possible. So once again, that's learn about your client's past experiences to better serve your client in, you know, their new experience with you. Okay, in the investigation stage, you're going to have a lot of questionnaires that you'll utilize to gather all this information. Specifically, you're going to have a health history questionnaire. You're going to have a lifestyle questionnaire. You're going to have an occupational questionnaire and even a PAR-Q. So the health history questionnaire really goes over their previous medical history and health history. The lifestyle questionnaire, you know, tell me about your hobbies, tell me what you like to do, tell me your family life. And then occupation is, you know, what do you do for a living? How might that affect exercise and so on and so forth. And the PAR-Q is basically all about determining their readiness to exercise, which I believe we went over previously. So moving over to slide number 6, the investigation stage continued, you really want to practice these following effective listening techniques in the investigation stage. And the text really brings these up, and we want to highlight these because it'll really assist you in creating the positive client experience and allowing that person to believe in everything that you're telling them. So things like encouraging is basically going to use a short phrase to encourage the client to talk more. So basically, you know, continue or tell me more about that, you know, something like that. That simple phrase that'll encourage them to talk more about themselves. Then you have paraphrasing. Paraphrasing is basically you're going to restate what the client told you, and that proves that you understand what they're saying. And typically a paraphrase is also followed with a question in the sense of, so you told me that you didn't like working out with TRX in the past. why was that, or something like that. That's just a small paraphrase. And then questioning, ask open-ended questions. It's very important. Remember, guys, open-ended questions are going to be something that encourages the client to talk. It can't be answered with one word. Like, do you like tacos? Yes. Okay, that's not an open-ended question. But why do you like tacos is an open-ended question. Okay, just as a heads up. I don't know why I chose tacos there, but maybe I'm hungry. Is it lunch yet? Is it dinner yet? Is it Taco Tuesday? Anyways, moving forward. Asking open-ended questions, listen to what they have to say, and then ask more questions. So that questioning is probably the most important part, in my opinion, to the building that client relationship. Because the more that you ask, the more that they talk, the more that you intently listen when they talk, the more that they will like you. Pretty much 100% in every relationship that you have. So guys, if you're the person that talks too much in the relationship, maybe step back, ask some questions, and see if that builds the relationship that you're looking for. And even vice versa, if you're the one that typically listens, just keep asking questions, because I'm sure you're good at that. But I'm always the person in the conversations that tend to ask the questions, and not talk a lot. But people like talking about themselves, and asking questions opens them up or gives them the floor to talk. And people typically like you if you're a good listener and you ask great questions. So, next one is going to be reflecting. We do really want you to know for the test. Basically, restate the primary points and feelings of what the client has told you. So it says, as an example, you mentioned you feel like you have the most success, or you have had the most success in the past when working with a personal trainer. So it's basically just encouraging what they said and restating it in a way that allows the person to understand that you get what they're saying, and also the feelings of what they're saying. So maybe the intent, it sounded like you were frustrated when you worked out with your last personal trainer. That's a reflection that basically states the meaning and states the feeling of what is going on from the sentence or communication that the client had with you. Okay, so always when you connect emotions to certain sentences to information that the client gives you, that really helps them to think about it in a way that would be beneficial. So, and then summarizing is more summarizing all of the major concerns that the client brought up. Listing something like, oh, okay, you talked about this. Now, and then you can either ask a question or you can summarize more about how they felt during all that and where you can take them to benefit them, that sort of thing. All right, so that's the investigation stage and some of the main effective listening techniques. I want you to know those for sure. And in the planning stage, which is next as we move over to slide number 7, the planning stage is really all about understanding what they want from the investigation stage and putting it into action. And specifically, we want to program and plan for a specific SMART goal. Okay, so we want you to know what SMART stands for, S-M-A-R-T, all capitalized. Those SMART goals are going to be definitely tested on, as well as you need to know them for setting goals for your clients in the field. So what is a SMART goal? It is specific. It is stated clearly and in detail. So I want to lose 12 pounds and 3% body fat. Okay, that's very specific of a goal. Okay, measurable is next. How you determine the progress by a measurable factor. So how am I going to measure this body fat loss? I'm going to use skinfold calipers to measure my skinfold thickness and determine my body fat. That's how I'm going to measure my specific goal of losing 12 pounds of body fat. Then attainable is next. Attainable, the goal must be realistic and achievable, meaning it has to be science-backed in the sense that it's possible. So somebody says, I want to lose 100 pounds in 1 week. That's not very realistic. Just keep that in mind. It's more along the lines of, is losing 12 pounds possible? Yes, absolutely. Obviously in the timeline, which we're going to get into soon. But it is realistic. It is achievable by that person in a way. Relevant is next, and that has to relate to the client's interests and needs. So, is the goal, or is the client interested in achieving the goal? Okay, so they're based off of everything they've told you. Are they actually? Do they want to achieve that goal? Because a lot of times, some people say like, "Yeah, I want to lose weight," and then you know they don't really show that they really want to lose weight based off of their actions. So you have to be keep in mind and also motivate someone to really take action on that. All right. Next, then we have time bound, and finally, we do want you to know that is you need to create a timetable for the goal, okay? So we want you to memorize S-M-A-R-T and specifically know that the T stands for time bound. And to set a time for my 12 pounds of body fat loss and 3% body fat loss, I want to lose that in 6 weeks. That's a realistic goal that is attainable. It's going to be measured by skinfold calipers, and it is relevant because I want to do that. But maybe for relevant, why do you want to do that? Okay, find out why that person wants to achieve the goal to make it relevant to them. If they say I want to lose 12 pounds, and they just say, oh, no reason, I just want to, that might not be as relevant as to someone that says, oh, well, in 6 weeks, I'm meeting my ex-girlfriend at the beach, or she's going to be at a party that I want to look good for, something like that. Yes, keep that in mind, okay? So along with that, these SMART goals, there's going to be other types of goals. We have process goals and product goals. So process goals are kind of, I consider them on a day-to-day basis, what sort of processes or what habits do you need to create to achieve the goal longer term? So something that the client does on a daily and or hourly and or weekly basis, in the sense of, I need to show up to the workout 3 times a week. Okay, that's a process goal. Okay, and then a product goal is going to be something that is achieved. So, in order to lose my 12 pounds, my process goal would be I need to show up to the workout, or I need to show up to work out 3 times every week for the next 6 weeks. My product goal would be I need to, or the goal that I actually have is 12 pounds of weight loss. So that's the product of my processes, if that makes sense. So process goals are the small things that you do on a daily basis to achieve the product goals. Okay. So weight loss or personal record on a lift is the example given. Then form and discuss. So basically, you need to have alternatives, a plan, and evaluate the exercise program when you have a goal. So basically, that's kind of leading into the next bullet point, which is saying that you always need to assess, you always need to reassess, and you always need to plan new goals on a sometimes even weekly to biweekly to monthly basis. Depending on how motivated that client is, you always revisit them, you always reassess them, and set new SMART goals to ensure that the client does not lose motivation. So it says at the bottom bullet point, when a client loses motivation, you want to reassess and reset or revise the SMART goals. Okay, keep that in mind for the test. And also memorize what SMART means and be able to set a SMART goal. And the example I gave hopefully was enough there. And if not, I'll give more in the lectures below. So continuing with the planning stage, as we move over to slide 8, motivational interviewing is going to be talked about. And specifically, motivational interviewing is going to be talking with your clients and communicating with them in a way that motivates them to continuously strive for their goal. Something like, I saw that you... you posted on social media that you were not going out on a Friday night because you really wanted to achieve your goal. That's the best thing that you could have done. That's so great. Great work. Doing that often will really help you. And that sort of talk of like encouraging good behaviors is a form of motivational interviewing, something like that. But ways that you can also perform motivational interviewing include things like asking probing questions. Okay, so open-ended questions that are motivational. A motivational question might be, what type of outfit would you wear when you lose the 12 pounds that we were talking about? Boom, that's a great motivational question. Gets them thinking of getting towards their goal and excited about achieving their goal. Okay, listen effectively. Obviously, this comes pretty normal. That's expected. Listen and learn why your clients may be feeling challenged or unmotivated. or even motivated. And yeah, I mean, always just listen to what your client has to say intently and effectively. Educate is next. Yeah, these are just continuing motivational interviewing techniques. Educate them, meaning teach them about the workouts they're performing, why they're beneficial, and what it's going to lead to, and how it's going to lead towards their goal. That's something that you know, I do on a every exercise. I'm telling them about why this exercise is going to relate to what they want. Okay, and just always educating them in that sense really creates professionalism and trust in you, the trainer, and builds confidence that the client is working with a smart individual. All right, build self-confidence is next. So compliment the client on behavioral successes, build their self-efficacy, you know, tell them how much better they did on that exercise there than they were doing on that a month ago. You know, constantly measure their success and let them know that they are achieving successes. And especially around behavioral successes that lead to the product goals, such as like eating well and or, you know, getting 8 hours of sleep, or not drinking as much alcohol, things like that. All right, and then encourage, push them to act and make changes towards their goal. There's a lot of different ways that you can encourage, but basically just giving them the little push to continuously perform the process goals to change their behaviors will lead to them achieving their goal faster. All right, and then the last stage is going to be the action stage. This is on slide 9. And the action stage is really where the personal trainer and the client begin the workout program. And this is where, yeah, you're taking the client through the workout, you're adjusting and modifying the workout, and you're getting them to break a sweat, we'll say. You're on the floor, you're doing exercises and really creating that, putting that plan into action. So things that can benefit the action stage is something like self-monitoring. Which self-monitoring is basically going to be a method that you can use with your clients to track specifics of their behaviors. It's things like tracking their cardiorespiratory exercise. So how many minutes at what intensity might help. Tracking their nutrition. What did you eat all day? Write it down. Monitor it. And then also tracking something like sleep. How long did you sleep for? What time did you get to bed? And how many hours total did you get? What that does is it really allows the client to have control and monitor their progress and also understand why they might not be achieving their goals in the timelines that they want. But hopefully that self-monitoring is all beneficial. Most of the time when I do give my clients self-monitoring, they recognize, oh, I made a bad decision here. And they tell you about it on Monday when they're done, or you know, you don't see them over the weekend, and they tell you about it Monday, or they tell me about it Monday. And they say, oh yeah, you know, I went to a social event and I ate a piece of cake. That right there is might be why I'm up a pound today, something like that. So, yeah. Also, what it does is it monitors their progress, and they can view their logs, and that promotes further adherence. So, let's say they have a week where they lost, you know, 3 pounds that week. They revisit that week and say, hey, why did I lose 3 pounds? Well, here it is. It's all written down. Check out this nutritional log that I kept. This is exactly what I ate. I didn't go out. I didn't drink much alcohol, and I exercise with my trainer 3 times a week. That's going to reinforce the fact that the behaviors that you're promoting are working. And when they stray from those behaviors, they don't achieve their goals, that sort of thing. So it's a good way to ensure that they are acting upon what you're telling them to do and creating good behaviors. All right, so some learning styles, which we definitely want you to know for the test. Learning styles are going to be visual, auditory, and kinesthetic. This is basically how does the client comprehend and learn what you're telling and teaching them, okay? So there's visual learning styles, which is someone that's going to watch and learn from viewing what the personal trainer is doing. So this person's really going to benefit from the personal trainer performing the exercise and then trying to mimic that after they watch them do it a few times. I have, you know, some of my clients are definitely this way, and they need to see me do it in order for them to perform it correctly. Auditory is someone that listens to what you're telling them and then asks questions around it as they do it. Okay, so auditory is like someone that can understand by them you explaining it to them. And then kinesthetic is someone that's going to be learned through doing, meaning they aren't going to, they might see you do it once, but then they're going to really feel what that movement feels like through touch and then performing it to really understand and get what you want from them. Okay, so have those memorized. It's also in your book and a nice little chart there too. But moving over to slide 10, continuing with the action stage, individualized teaching techniques, basically every client is going to learn in a different way. And that means that you have to adjust your teaching style based off of the client's learning style, if that makes sense. So things that just to keep in mind are things like that for beginners, it's important to remind them that it takes time to learn new motor skills. So you want to introduce skills slowly and describe it to them clearly. And then also allow opportunity for practice. Okay, so that's more in the the client that's beginning to work out and doesn't have a lot of workout experience. Really focus on them slowly develop them, and they will get better. And then also you need to provide appropriate feedback for them. So what is appropriate feedback? Things like correcting their movement issues, correcting posture. Also motivate clients to practice the movements maybe when they're not with you. And then also provide encouragement when the movements are performed correctly. So really, really positively reinforce the fact that they did something right and ensure that they understand that the way it felt when they did perform something right. That's very important. And also, guys, always be aware that some clients probably don't want to be touched. And always keep that in mind, because if they don't want to be touched and you feel like that the exercise that you're trying to give them requires you to touch them, then just choose a different exercise. That language is something that they might use on the test is when somebody doesn't want to be touched, what should you do? Well, it's important to not touch them if they don't want to be touched, so just choose a different exercise that doesn't require you to touch them. All right, so moving to slide 11 and continuing with the action stage. Effective communication, there's some points around this. You always need to be aware of cultural differences between you and the client. So sometimes you may be working with someone that from another culture doesn't, or something may be more awkward than others. And we'll say spacing when communicating or talking or smells and stuff. Just be aware of someone's culture and how that may affect exercise, and always just adapt to something that they either want or they don't want, or just to make sure that the communication is always there. And basically that just says communicating and working effectively with those of another culture. So just be aware of cultural differences that may lead to different situations during the workout session. Also, enhancing adherence through empathy and rapport. Basically, always getting to know the client. Always attempt to understand what the client is experiencing. And specifically, empathy is described as putting yourself in the client's position, and which allows you to reflect on their situation for further understanding. Basically, be open-minded and non-judgmental. So, what is this client experiencing? I had a client that just couldn't get certain exercises, and so what I would do is, as a person not being able to do something, do I want someone to try to continue to teach me how to do it, or should we just choose a different exercise? It was easy for me to empathize with the client and just say, hey, why don't we try something else that works out the same muscle group, things like that. So just be aware that empathy is very important and will allow you to further motivate and enhance the workout of the client. And that also, utilizing empathy also builds rapport with the client, because they understand that you are working with them to give them the best experience, we'll say. And finally, on slide number 12, we're going to talk about the stages of learning. And we definitely want you guys to know this for the test, all about the different stages of learning, specifically the cognitive learning stage. Okay, this type of client is basically just beginning. So you have the cognitive stage, the associative stage, and the autonomous stage. And those, hopefully, you can kind of just understand what those are based off of the descriptions or the names of the stages. But cognitive is basically a brand new client that doesn't have certain motor skills and they're brand new to them or being introduced to them. So what's important for this client is that you provide the most feedback and use what's called the tell, show, do to assist them with their uncoordinated and jerky movements. They're novices, okay? So understand that the cognitive learning stage is a beginner. They don't have coordinated movements. They might be more jerky. It's very, very noticeable that they are not very efficient at performing certain exercises. That's okay. Just keep that in mind and be more open and understanding and patient, as well as provide the most feedback, okay? That's something that we want you to know. Basically clients trying to understand a new skill is the example there. The associative stage is where you're mastering the basics and you're ready for further feedback about performing that exercise even better, or maybe progressing the exercise to be a little harder. So with this one, you want to balance the appropriate feedback with the amount of feedback. This is going to be an intermediate exerciser, someone that's been exercising with you for maybe 2 to 3 to 4 months. They know the basics of what you encourage, and then they're looking for more or less. And then the autonomous stage, you can kind of think of as the automatic stage. They're basically, you don't need to give them much feedback. Okay, they require the least amount of feedback, and it's more important to, we'll say, let them perform the activities, and then at the end of everything, maybe go ahead and explain something that you need them to focus on more. Meaning they're pretty dang good. You really don't need to be watching them super intently like you would with a beginning client. So it says the trainer does less teaching, less correcting, and is more monitors. They're an advanced client. They have great motor skills. This is someone like an athlete that's been working out and or exercising for their whole life and doesn't need as much feedback and is more coordinated for sure. All right, guys, so that's going to bring us to the end of this lecture. Make sure you complete the audio lecture or the audio book lecture, which is below, and then the assignment before moving on to the assignment audio explanation or assignment explanation audio in order to make sure that you really get that element of completing the assignments, writing them down before you find out the answer so that it really ingrains it into your head because you've written it out, you've searched for it in the book, you know what information you're looking for, and then we're going to go over it with you. Just like you would be given homework and then the teacher goes over it the next day, that's kind of the way that we want you to perform that. Okay, and then also pass the quiz at the bottom and keep on trekking. So yeah, that's just going to be it for Chapter 3 as far as the PowerPoint lecture. We'll see you right down below in the assignment or the audio book lecture. Cheers.